From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, John Mark, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16. Yea, He is altogether lovely. The superlative beauty of Jesus is all-attracting. It is not so much to be admired as to be loved. He is more than pleasant and fair. He is lovely. Surely the people of God can fully justify the use of this golden word, for He is the object of their warmest love, a love founded on the intrinsic excellence of His person, the complete perfection of His charms. Look, O disciples of Jesus, to your Master's lips, and say, Are they not most sweet? Do not His words cause your hearts to burn within you as He talks with you by the way? Ye worshippers of Emmanuel, look up to His head of much fine gold, and tell me, are not His thoughts precious unto you? Is not your adoration sweetened with affection as ye humbly bow before that countenance which is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars? Is there not a charm in His every feature, and is not His whole person fragrant with such a savor of His good ointments, that therefore the virgins love Him? Is there one member of His glorious body which is not attractive, one portion of His person which is not a fresh lodestone to our souls, one office which is not a strong cord to bind your heart? Our love is not as a seal set upon His heart of love alone. It is fastened upon His arm of power also. Nor is there a single part of Him upon which it does not fix itself. We anoint His whole person with the sweet spikenard of our fervent love. His whole life we would imitate. His whole character we would transcribe. In all other beings we see some lack. In Him there is all perfection. The best even of His favored saints have had blots upon their garments and wrinkles upon their brows. He is nothing but loveliness. All earthly suns have their spots. The fair world itself hath its wilderness. We cannot love the whole of the most lovely thing. But Christ Jesus is gold without alloy, light without darkness, glory without cloud. Yea, He is altogether lovely.
Voice
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Series in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verse 13 of chapter 13. As Paul and Barnabas departed on their first missionary journey, they took with them a young believer named John Mark. It was this same Mark who would later write the gospel which bears his name. John Mark came from a godly home and had much to recommend him in the work of God. Yet verse 13 records his abandonment of the mission before its conclusion. Although John Mark was given a great opportunity to serve alongside two of the greatest preachers in the world, he departed from them for reasons that remain unclear. Various portions of Scripture provide some clues as to why Mark failed to follow through on the mission. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, it's not how one begins, but how one finishes that is important, especially in God's work. Now to continue this message called simply, John Mark. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Some of you young people, if only you will realize it, that when God puts you under the preaching of the gospel, when he gives into your hand, when he gives you the stable solid, sound preaching of the old Reformed doctrines of grace, when he gives you a passion for souls, when he gives you the chance to sit in a church that believes in praying and believes in soul winning, my friend, God is blessing you and he's putting you on the verge of great things for God. It's a great beginning. Unfortunately, John Mark's initial beginning didn't continue. I want you to notice quickly his rebellious relapse in God's work. We read in our text this morning, Acts 13, verse 13, John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, that verse simply informs us that he left the missionary journey. That's all it says. But turn over to chapter 15 and verse 38. And there you will read, Paul thought not good to take him with them. This is for the second missionary journey. Paul didn't think it good to take John Mark with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now that tells us a lot more. It gives us a deeper insight and shows us that there were deep and wrong and sinful reasons for John Mark's departure. The verb in chapter 15, verse 38 means to stand aloof from, to withdraw oneself from. In fact, the same verb is translated in 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, from such withdraw thyself. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, you will find that it has the meaning of falling away. It has in it the thought of apostasy. It can mean, according to Acts 5 and 37, even the thought of downright rebellion. Now, I want you to put all those together. I'm not for one moment saying John Mark became an apostate. I'm saying the word is a graphic word. It's a pictorial word. And it's painting this picture of John Mark's departure, that he withdrew himself from those apostles, those servants of God who were blazing a trail for Christ. He stood aloof from those who were going on with God, who were bearing the burden. He stood aloof from them in their work of God. And he fell away. This is why the word is used that has the thought of apostatizing or falling away. He didn't fall away from the faith, but he fell away from his missionary commitment to Jesus Christ. Now that's John Mark's rebellious relapse in the work of God. Just let me stop for a minute. I wonder, are there Christians here this morning and you don't count yourself a backslider, and yet the very same thing could be said of you? I wonder, are there Christians here this morning, and while others serve God in sincerity and in truth, you have withdrawn yourself from active service for Jesus Christ? I wonder, are there Christians here this morning, and while others bear the burden in prayer, while others bear the burden in witnessing, while others bear the burden even in giving, I wonder, are there Christians here, and you stand aloof? You're a spectator of the work of God, but you're not really a servant in the work of God. My friend, that is the very sin, and that is the very crime of John Mark. I wonder, are there people here this morning, whether you recognize yourself as a backslider or not, you can put your finger on a time in your past experience when your life was committed to the Lord, when you had a burden for God's work, when you started out on a missionary commitment. You didn't know where it was going to lead you. You didn't know all that was going to be involved. But the Lord dealt with your heart, and there was a commitment to Jesus Christ for the service of God. Maybe as a young man or a young woman, there was a great desire in your heart to serve Christ. And yet this morning, you are like John Mark. You've fallen away from your commitment of service to Christ. My friend, let me tell you, that is rebellion. What a fall. After a brilliant beginning, what a terrible failure on the part of John Mark. Of course, the question that raises itself is why? We just in Acts 13 and 13 have the bold statement, John departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Why? Why did he stand aloof? Why did he fall away from this commitment to service? Why did he withdraw himself? Now, the Bible does not state exactly why, and yet I think that the circumstances in which these various verses that we're thinking of are couched give us at least the right to consider that it may have been this, or this. I think it's probably more than coincidence that verse 13, saying that John Mark departed, follows immediately after the red-hot controversy that Paul had just had with Elymas the sorcerer. And I wonder, was John Mark one of those characters who were so milk and watery that they feared the conflict, didn't like the fight? I don't know that I can be absolutely dogmatic about John Mark, but I'll tell you what I can be absolutely dogmatic about. There's many a person who has committed John Mark's sin for that very reason, and there are multitudes of them today. Oh, you know, the people who say we are evangelicals, and I have no doubt they are evangelicals, and they believe the gospel, but they hold up their hands in horror that we would dare to fight apostasy, that we would dare to confront the devil's agents. Oh, let's just be nice to everybody. Let's get into the lovey-dovey crusade of modern Christendom. But I know that there are Christians, and they are guilty of falling off from following Christ because they want to be on too friendly terms with the world. It can't be done. I have news for you. This church is in business to fight the devil. Doesn't matter what mask he puts on, we'll be fighting him. If he comes with a clerical collar around his neck, well, we'll be fighting him. We'll be trying to use the collar to strangle him. If he comes as a theological professor, we'll be against him. If he comes in any other guise, we're against the devil, and the devil's against us. The free church, if it's anything, is a fighting church. Now, the one place we don't want fighting is inside. I hate to see Christians fight with each other. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm not a Baptist, but I'm not in America to fight with Baptists who are standing for God. I'll fight with a Baptist who's not standing for God, and I'll fight with a Presbyterian who's not standing for God. But I think it's a tragedy that God's people fight each other and don't fight the devil. This church is in business to fight the Lord's battles against every power of hell. I trust that you'll be in that battle. Don't be giving up. It'll be a battle that will be hard and long and sore. It'll be a battle in which there'll be no quarter asked or given. It'll be a battle to be carried on all fronts, in prayer, in preaching, in witnessing, in laying hold of sinners, in laying hold of apostates, of doing what Ehud did, getting the dagger out and getting it into the midriff of apostasy. My, that's the battle. I trust that you'll not be found wanting in the day of battle. Of course, there may well have been another reason. In chapter 13, verse 5, we have the word minister. That's a very interesting word. May give us a hint as to why John Mark packed his bags in Perga and went home. The word minister here is a nautical term. It pictures for us the old ships that they had in those days, where they had rows of rowers, rows of people on the oars. Now, the word that's used of John Mark is a word which indicates the rower right on the bottom rank. He was distinguished from the man who was known as a nautes, one who was a seaman. He wasn't a seaman. He was just the most subordinate man at the oars. In other words, and the word got out of its nautical connotation just into ordinary language to mean a subordinate, a person of very low rank. I wonder, did that rankle John Mark? I wonder, was there a pride that welled up in the young fellow's heart when he saw Paul, there he was in the limelight, and there was John Mark, just a subordinate? Tell you this, that I have known many young people, and their pride has led them to an awful fall in God's work. One of the worst things, and a young person has got to guard against it. So often you find it in churches today, is a mockery of those who are longer on the road than they are. Young people who maybe have more education than old folk around them. And they imagine that their education is of some spiritual worth. I always remember what the headmaster of our college said to us when I was leaving. Shook hands and he said, "Don't think you're educated." Well, of course, I didn't need him to tell me that. And you who listen to me every week wouldn't need him to tell you that either. But he said, "Don't think you're educated. You're not. You've just got to the place where you can now begin to learn." Those were the truest words he ever spoke to us. And yet I have seen young people, and they get so puffed up with the little bit that they know, and they look down upon others who don't know these academic things that they know. They look with pride. They look with scorn. My friend, let me tell you, sometimes young people can become so full of themselves and they can become so impatient to get on that they actually go back. Could have been that was what was wrong with John Mark. May have been just that he was unwilling to pay the price. Our brother will know all about this. There have been missionaries from this country have gone to Scotland and have packed their bags pretty quick to come home. One of the biggest curses, and I want to be absolutely straight with you in this, one of the biggest curses in missionary work in Ireland has been an influx of Americans. Does that shock you? Not because they're Americans, but because they came, they stayed a little while, and they went home. One person who has worked in the south of Ireland for 45 years now said to me, she said, "We don't need people to come on a short-term crusade. We need people who come here and who live here and who work here and who raise their family here and who take a stand here and who have a testimony here and who pay the price that we pay here." That's what we need. That's true in every mission field in the world. Any fool can go and give out a couple of hundred tracts. Any fool can go and blaze a trail for a week or two. Maybe John Mark was of that kind. Began to miss the life back home. Began to miss the people back home. Began to miss the fellowship of the church. Now those are things that you can well miss. My friend, let me tell you, when you're going out to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, your all must be in the offer. Must be everything. It's going to cost a lot. I tell you, when you say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm willing," you don't know what's involved. And you don't know where the Lord's going to lead you. I know when God called me to preach, I had no idea. I rebelled against the idea. I didn't want to be a preacher. The one thing I dreaded more than anything else was starting out to fail. To run without having been called. God had to speak in a very, very remarkable way. And he did. Before he called me to preach. And when God called me to preach, I didn't know what was involved. For 4 years I preached in a little place that was the seedbed of Unitarianism in Ireland. As hard as nails in the great 1859 revival. It wasn't touched. 8 miles away, Belfast was caught in the flames of a mighty revival. A few miles, 4 miles up the road, another town was caught in the flame of revival. And here was this little hellhole of Unitarianism, where they blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't a breath of revival in it. And that's the village I preached in for 4 years. I saw a church built there. I didn't know that God was going to send me there. Nor to Cabra, nor to Ballymoney, nor into radio ministry, nor to America. I never expected to preach in this country. We don't know where the Lord's going to lead us. I don't think that any of us today has the right to talk about the price you pay for serving the Lord, for I don't think in these days we know very much about paying a price. I mean, if I had word tomorrow that my mother, 80 years old, was lying dangerously ill, unless she died very quickly, I could probably reach her by aeroplane before she died. Probably. Still a price to be away from your folk. But in those days, when you set out not knowing when you would ever be back. If you would ever be back. I would to God, although we have the modern facilities available, I would to God that in our hearts we had that kind of dedication. Lord, doesn't matter what costs, doesn't matter where it leads, here am I, sent me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.